Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon this week. We are so glad that you've joined us. And you know, I had for over 40 years a personal physician for my family. His name was Dr. Robert Communal. He's in heaven now. Praise the Lord. And having come to Christ just a few weeks before he passed away. But I have the bad habit of wanting to be kind of an amateur doctor and give medicine to my family or myself and self-medicate. And he used to get so upset with me for doing this, rightfully so, I might add. One time he said to me, you know, you're going to really hurt somebody if you keep doing this. Because you don't know what to prescribe for them. You don't know what the right medicine is. Like, do you understand gram-positive bacteria and gram-negative bacteria and anaerobic bacteria and aerobic bacteria and the difference between bacteria and viruses and bacteria and, you know, living animals like amoebas? Because if you don't understand all of that, you don't know what to prescribe for them. Now, he was totally correct, by the way. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How does Jesus know exactly what kind of grace, exactly what kind of help to prescribe for us, to send to us? How does he know that? Well, you say he's God. That's right. But that's not the only way why he knows that. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute from one of the greatest verses in the New Testament. May not be a verse that they hang on the rails at the football games, but it's an amazing verse of scripture. But just before I do that, let me ask you to keep praying for Not a Sermon America in New Orleans and in Miami this quarter, and with the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras and everybody going to Miami because it's cold up here in the north. It's a great time to be doing those two cities. So please be praying with us that people will hear it, that they'll go to the website we give them, notasermon.org, and that, or not maybe com, and that they hear the gospel and they come to Christ. Okay, thank you. Also, just want to mention that my Holy Land tour, the best of the Holy Land for October 2025, we now have the brochure posted online where you can get it. And if you have any questions at all, it's a PDF. You can just print it off. Just give me a call. All right. Let's pray. We're going to dig in. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word today. Father, encourage our heart and speak to us deeply today, I pray. And Lord, teach us to come to you for grace when we need it for any situation in life, because you know exactly what kind of help to give us, as we're going to talk about right now. And we pray these things. We pray also for Not a Sermon America in Miami and New Orleans. God, we pray that there would be a divine appointment with somebody listening to their radio or streaming or on social media and running in to a Not a Sermon, Just a Thought, and coming to Christ. Oh God, reach out and bring people to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, as you know, we're in John's Gospel, catching up to the other three Gospels where we had reached the Garden of Gethsemane. But here in John's Gospel, John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, there's a ton of wonderful scriptural truth that is in John's gospel that falls between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where we are. And when we catch up after John 17 with the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then we'll meld all of them together, all four of them, and continue on through the events of the garden, the betrayal, the trial, the cross, the resurrection. Okay, and we're just finishing John 16. Last week, if you remember, Jesus said, John 16, verse 27, New King James Version of the Bible, and remind me, what do we teach here at Lon Solomon Ministries? Remind me. We teach what? Come on, the Bible. Come on, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our life. So that's what we're going to do today. But we were in verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Okay, we talked about this last week, the special personalized love that God has for people who love the Lord Jesus. If you missed that message, go back and listen. And now we're at verse 29. And his disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and do not need that anyone question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. He's talking, of course, about when he's arrested and all the disciples run for cover. That's what he's talking about, which is going to happen imminently in the garden. Verse 33, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow, I love that. These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now let's look at this verse. That is verse 33. What an amazing verse. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Friends, the only place in the whole world that we can find real peace for our souls is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist, real peace, anywhere in the world. Peace of mind, peace of heart. It's found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and there only. And folks, I know this for a fact because this is how I came to Christ. I was looking for peace in my heart, rest in my heart, that eternal life wasn't as much my issue as peace. And I looked everywhere for it. I looked in every religion, every ology that I could think of, and couldn't find it anywhere. I looked in drugs, I looked in drinking, I looked in womanizing, I looked in higher education, I looked everywhere. And then I ran into Bob Eckhart, who gave me a Bible, and I began reading it. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened down, and I will give you rest. You will find peace for your soul. And I gave my heart to Christ, and he did exactly what he said and gave me that peace, as the Bible says, indescribable peace, the peace of God, which is beyond all description. Philippians chapter 4:7, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because it's supernatural. And that's why Jesus says here in John 16, verse 33, come to me, he says right here, I've spoken these words to you, come to me, that in me you may have peace. In the world, he says, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have trouble. Jesus has told these disciples that a number of times here in chapters 14, 15, 16. In the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, people are going to think they've done God a service if they kill you. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Folks, isn't that true? In the world, there's nothing but trouble and suffering and pain and heartache and disappointment and failure. But in me, Jesus said, you'll have supernatural peace. Now watch, in the world you will have tribulation, but the reason you can have peace in me, look what he says, is because I, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The verb here translated overcome is the Greek word nikao, and it's a word that means to have victory. It's interesting, it's used in a legal sense when you have defeated and received a judgment over your adversary. You have overcome them in your court case. You've been victorious over them in your court case. But it's also used for battle. When people have had victory over their enemy. And it's used here, like Jesus uses it, to overcome, to be victorious over something, to triumph over something. The reason I bring this verb up is because it's in the perfect tense in Greek. I don't want to go into too much of this, but this is important. I've told you before, in the Greek language, the perfect tense is not used nearly as often as all the other tenses of the verbs. The present tense, the past, the aorist tense. No, it's fairly rare, and particularly in the New Testament, fairly rare. It means that you have a past completed action, something that happened in the past and is finished, completed, the results of which go on into eternity, into infinity. Jesus used this tense when he said on the cross, it is finished. It has been finished. It is finished. And it always will be finished. What will be finished? The plan of salvation. His paying for our sins before a holy God. It's finished. Always will be. Past completed action on the cross results into infinity. This is the same tense. I have overcome. I have triumphed over. I have been victorious over the world. But here's what he's really saying. I was victorious over the world. I still am victorious over the world. And I always will be victorious over the world. You with me? I have overcome the world. I still today am overcoming the world. And I will always overcome the world. You understand? And that's what makes this so beautiful. Yeah, translating it, I have overcome, gets the sum of the sense. But this is why the present perfect would be better. I am victorious over the world. I was, I am, and I always will be. I am victorious over the world. Okay. Now, because Jesus has overcome the world, and because he is victorious over the world, therefore, he can give us peace, even in the middle of the tribulations of the world that we're living in. He can still give us peace because he has overcome the world. All right. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage. And that's a great verse to memorize, by the way. Chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Great verse to memorize. All right. Now let's ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now. Here we go. Come on. One, two, three. So, oh, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And how great is it to have a Savior who was victorious over the world, is victorious over the world, and always will be victorious over the world, who has triumphed over the world, who is triumphing right now over the world, and always will triumph over the world. How great is it to have a God like that? We don't have a God or Savior who was not able to triumph over every detail of the world, like death, for example, but we have a Savior who's triumphed over it all. And that leads us to say, with our friend Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. Yes, how sweet it is to have a Savior who's triumphed over it all. Now, when Jesus says he's triumphed over the world, what does he really mean? What's he talking of? What's he triumphed over? Well, two things. Two things. Number one, he triumphed over death. Let me read to you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children, talking about we as human beings, have partaken of flesh and blood, he, the Lord Jesus, also himself likewise shared in the same. He had a human body, he had flesh and blood, that through death, actually dying on the cross, through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, watch, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid to assist those who are tempted. All right. Here's the first thing Jesus triumphed over. There are two. Number one, he triumphed over death. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says that he might destroy him who had the power of death and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime living in bondage, in slavery to debt, to the fear of death. Now, this is the first thing that Jesus has triumphed over, that no other Savior, no other proposed Savior has ever triumphed over. True biblical Christianity is the only religious system in the world that claims that its founder and hero, leader, the Lord Jesus Christ in this case, rose from the dead. In other messages, I've given you a preponderance of evidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead, and I believe it with all my heart that he did. I hope you do too. And so, Jesus said, I have overcome the world and the world's single biggest problem, which is death. And I can free, therefore, people from their fear of death and from the sting of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15. He frees us from all of that. To be absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5, is to be present with the Lord. There's no fear in death anymore. There's nothing there to be afraid of. The last breath we take here on earth, the next breath we take on the shores of heaven. So that's the first thing. Why can we be of good cheer? Why can we have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have peace even about death itself. Why? Because he has overcome death. Where? At the resurrection, he overcame it. And he freed us to have peace as we face the grave. Peace in me, Jesus says. Through me, you will have peace. I've told you before, but when I had my open heart surgery in 2020, September 1st, 2020, I remember being wheeled down the hallway to the operating room, having said goodbye to my wife and my son, James, who was there at the hospital. And I remember that even leading up to that day and that day, I just had perfect peace. I knew that there were two options. I was either going to wake up in the recovery room to go on with life with my family and serving the Lord here on earth, or I was going to wake up on the shores of heaven. Those were the only two options there were for me because of my trust in Christ, because he had overcome death. And in him, through him, I had peace. And I talked to a good friend of mine, Dr. Jack Sternberg, down in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Jack, if you're listening, shout out to you. I love you, brother. I love you, man. And he had a similar surgery around the same time as the one I had. And it was interesting, as we compared notes, he told me the exact same thing was his experience. Why? Because Jesus has overcome death. So through him, we can have peace. He knows exactly what kind of grace to give, exactly what kind of medicine to give to take away the fear of death and give us peace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I'm still a little bit afraid of death, to tell you if I'm really honest. Well, sure you are. You don't have dying grace yet. I was right on the precipice, looking over into the chasm of the next life, of the afterlife. So was my buddy Dr. Jack. We got dying grace because we needed it. If you're not dying, you don't have dying grace. If you don't have dying grace, well, of course, you're a little bit scared. It's okay. Don't worry about it. When you get to the precipice, take my word for it. Take Dr. Jack's word for it. You're going to have dying grace, and you're going to have perfect peace. Trust me. I've been there, and it was overwhelming, frankly. Praise God. So that's the first area where the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have overcome the world. But there's a second area, and that is, not just did he overcome, not only did he defeat death, but also the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the human temptations of this life, of this life. How do I know that? Well, because he lived a sinless earthly life. He defeated the temptations of this life. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he defeated the temptations of this life. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Back to chapter 2, verse 18 in Hebrews, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid, to assist, to help those who are tempted. So here's what the Bible teaches. The second area where Jesus says, I have overcome the world, is that he has overcome and defeated all of the temptations of the world, whatever they might be, and has gotten victory over them, having not succumbed to a one of them, but lived a sinless life. And therefore, as the Bible says, he is able to give help and assistance to us who are tempted. He knows exactly what kind of grace to give us, exactly what kind of prescription to give us, exactly what kind of help to give us to help us overcome the temptations we face in this life. Now, that's wonderful. My doctor, Dr. Kaminal, Lon, do you know exactly what kind of prescription to give to help people with all these different kinds of diseases? No, I don't. Jesus, do you know exactly what kind of prescription and help and grace to give people who are facing every single kind of temptation in the world? Yes, he does, because he was tempted by every single situation in this world. And yet, what did he say? I have overcome. I have defeated. I have had victory over every single temptation in the world. I still have victory over them, and I will always have victory over them. And people who are facing these temptations, since I faced them and defeated them, I know exactly what kind of grace, strength, and help to give. Now, does that mean that we're never going to sin? That we're going to overcome every single temptation in this world? No. No, it doesn't. It could, if we could perfectly tap into the strength and the grace God offers us for every single temptation and perfectly appropriate it for our life and never depend on our flesh to try to beat these temptations, but to depend on God's grace in every single situation, could we possibly live with certainly very little sinful behavior? Yes, we could. But we don't do that. We're human. Way too often, we try to go it on our own. We don't appropriate God's grace like we should. We don't let him live through us to defeat these temptations. We try to do it ourselves. And so we don't live a sinless life. But that's not to say, listen to me, that the help and the grace is not there, and that if we turn to God in these moments, that it's not fully available to us in every situation of life. It is. And we have to learn. This is part of God raising us as his children. As we grow in our walk with God, we have to learn how to turn to him every day and depend on his grace instead of our own strength to face our temptations down. That's a learning process. Hopefully, as we get older and older in the Lord, over years, we learn how to do this better and better. Hopefully, we do. And hopefully, therefore, we fall prey to sin less as we grow in our walk with God. But the grace is always there because he has overcome the temptations, the human temptations of life. So, he has overcome death, he has overcome the human temptations of life, and therefore, we can be of good cheer, because through him, we can find peace and strength and grace, Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, in our everyday living, if we could learn to say, oh Lord, they're starting to gossip. Dear Jesus, give me gossip grace so I don't participate. Please, Lord, I'm depending on you. Oh Lord, they're starting to slander that person. Oh God, give me slander grace that I don't slander that person. Oh God, here comes that really beautiful woman again. Oh God, give me beautiful woman grace so I don't look on her and lust on her, or beautiful man grace so I don't do it. Oh God, here comes somebody ready to tell that dirty joke. I know it, and all that nasty, lewd talk. Oh God, give me lewd talk, nasty joke grace so I can just walk away. Oh God, I'm walking by that beautiful purse in the window, and Lord, I'm coveting it. Lord, give me the grace just to walk right on by. Give me beautiful purse grace. Lord, please. Lord, I'm awful jealous of that person, and I'm awful bitter at that person, and I'm awful unwilling to forgive that person. Give me a forgiveness grace. Give me jealous grace. Lord Jesus, if we could live like that every moment of every day, we could have perfect peace through Christ as we faced every circumstance in life. At least I'm not capable of living like that every moment of every day. I can do it for a little while or in a short stretches. But then I fall prey to just going back and not doing it, depending on my own strength, whatever. But you're with me. The grace is there. Okay, so let's summarize. What do I want you to take home with you today? It's very simple, folks. I want you to take home with you these words I have spoken to you, that through me you might have peace, Jesus said. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I am victorious, always have been, always will be, over death and the human circumstances of this world. Look to find that peace of mind and heart in your relationship with me, and you'll find it. Come to me, Matthew 11, and I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding, whether it comes to death, whether it comes to the challenges of this life. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have triumphed over this world, that you right now are triumphed over this world, and that you always will be triumphed over this world, victorious over this world, whether it be death or whether it be the human circumstances of life. And Lord, help us turn to you, expecting to find grace, help, strength, power, Lord, to share in that triumph that you have, and to find peace of heart and mind in every circumstance of life. Help us, Lord, not to try to gut it through ourselves, but to turn to you and say, Lord Jesus, please help me. Please give me the grace that I need. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. All righty. Hey, wow, powerful stuff today. Powerful word today. Powerful truth today. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's live in that triumph through Christ. Amen. God willing, see you next week on Live with Lon, when we'll start chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. We'll see you then.